We're going to start a new bet on a bet. I want to go back to the Shabbat stuff just because it's hard to start in the middle, and I don't know how much everybody did or got. Or we'll start from the Mishnah on Yubet Amubet. It's right in the middle of the page, a little toward the top. We're now going to have a slew of Mishnayot where there's a machloket. Okay, if you came in, there's sheets in the middle to help you. There's a slew of Mishnayot now that we're going to start learning that all talk about situations where a man gets married to a woman. She doesn't have betulim, okay? She has no signs of virginity. And there's different, each one makes a particular claim. He makes a claim, she makes a claim. And then the question is who's believed. And when all these cases, there's going to be the same bottom line machloket. Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say she's believed. And Rabbi Yeshua says in these kind of words, lo mipia anu chayim. We don't trust her at all, basically. We can't, by lo mipia, not from her mouth, the words of her mouth are we going to trust. And basically, Rabbi Yeshua says she's not trusted. Now, what's interesting about these machlokot, okay, I actually organized all four cases on the top of your sheet, just so you can look back. I'm not going to go through them here now because we're going to see each Mishnah as we get to it. But there's going to be four different situations. They're always going to say she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua is always going to say, lo mipia anu chayim. And until she brings good proof, we're not going to believe her. These are the arguments here fit very, very closely. Safrai brought it up in his book, and it's very interesting. He talks about how they line up with their general shitot of Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Now, generally, we always see Beit Shammai as being more machmir. In these cases, now, it's a question of whether you say, I don't know who you view as more machmir here, right? We're obviously women. We're going to assume that believing the woman means you're more mekel, because you're believing the woman. I don't know if it's exactly true, but anyway, Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer follow Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai, on these issues, generally was more favoring of the woman, which is interesting. And he quotes a few different Mishnayot that I'm going to quickly go through. Most of them we learned about other issues between husband and wife where Beit Shammai holds the sheet to the more sides on the woman's side and Beit Hillel holds the men's side. Okay, so, or sort of. Like, we'll see. In Yevamot, if you remember, we started the first Mishnah. There were a few cases in Yevamot. There was the one case where we saw, they even though they had different opinions about who's who, they would marry their wives, and they would marry their wives. So the case was, if you remember, the whole first mission of all the tzarot were asurot, right? If you're erva, then the tzarot are pturot. Beit Shammai says the tzarot are mutarot. They're not pturot. He allows the tzarot to marry the brothers. Okay, whether it's, again, it's unclear whether you say it's machmir or mekel exactly, but he doesn't see the tzarot as related. Another one is the really basic one that we read in the end of Yevamot. Remember when they allowed Eid Echad to, there was a whole Ma'aseh Shayah, and the woman came to testify about her husband that he was dead, and they said, well, they ended up matiring it, and then Beit Hillel said, we only do it in exactly the same situation as that situation, where she came from the Katsir, it was in the same city, and it was exactly like that Ma'aseh, and he only allowed to accept her testimony to allow her to remarry, saying, my husband's dead, in a particular situation like that, whereas Beit Shammai said, no. Once we matur it across the board, and which is obviously a case of supporting the woman who, you know, wants to get remarried and can't, and her husband's not there. And in the end, in that situation, Beit Hillel agreed with them. And the last one we're going to quote is the one about what you need to divorce a woman. You can divorce a woman, according to Beit Shammai, if you find, the pasuk says, ki imtzabe ervat davar. If you find something very offensive, something very wrong that she did, you can divorce her. According to Beit Hillel, you can divorce her even if she burns your food. Okay, it's a very famous Mishnah. And again, what do you see? That Beit Shammai is more protective of the woman here. You can't just divorce her for any random reason. You have to have good reasoning, and he was into protecting the women. So we saw it with Eid Echad. We saw it that Tzaraot maybe is a little bit less connected to this whole thing, but we saw it with Eid Echad. We saw it with how you can divorce her, and now we see it here, where the woman is believed according to the school of Beit Shammai, and Rabbi Yeshua, who's with the school of Beit Hillel, doesn't believe the woman. Okay, so let's read our case. We're on the Mishnah on Yubet Amubet. Hanoseet ha'isha v'lo matzala betulim. Okay, so now. Hi omeret misha'erastani ne'enasti. Okay, we saw this the other day, actually, on Yud Aleph. She says, once I was, after I was engaged, and we already had an engagement, halachic engagement, I was raped. I'm sorry for you, but your field got messed up, meaning, right, it wasn't, right, you bought a perfect item, and now it got messed up once it was in your possession. V'hu omer lo ki ela ad shelo erastich. V'haya mikchi mekach ta'ud. No, I'm. What if, or maybe, right? He's saying it could be you were raped before we were engaged, right? You have no way of proving it. Must be, or it's possible you were raped before, and therefore it's a mekach ta'ut. Okay? In other words, I want, now again, it's unclear here. We saw this the other day. Is he claiming it's a mekach ta'ut and I want the marriages off, basically? This was a false, this is right, false pretense, and therefore there was really no engagement here, or no marriage. Or is he just saying, since a betula, a virgin, gets 200 zuz, and a be'ula gets 100, so he's saying, I want to only give you 100 in your ketubah. So Rabban Gamliel v'Rabbi Elazar omrim ne'emenet, she's believed, and Rabbi Yeshua omer lo mipia anu chayim, ela harezo b'cheskat be'ula, adje t'teres v'hi ta'ato, adje t'viraya l'dvereha. In other words, at this point we're assuming that she was engaged and she lied to him. In other words, she was raped before the engagement, until she can bring proof otherwise, which obviously puts the woman in a very difficult position, right? Try and bring proof for the fact that somebody raped you. Okay, so now in the Gemara, we're going to try to see what the logic is behind both shitot. In order to do this, really what we're talking about here, the issue is the ketubah money now, right? Does she have ketubah money? Does she not? Does she have zero? Does she have 100? Whatever it is, but is she believed or not, is a monetary claim here. So itmar. Here we're going to get to a real monetary issue, and we're going to compare them. Manali biyadcha. I come to you and I say, you owe me money. Okay, you borrowed money from me, and you owe me 100. V'hala omer eini yodan. The other guy says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know about anything, okay? Rabbi Yehuda v'Rav Huna amre chayav. Rav Nachman v'Rabbi Yochanan amre patur. Okay, so now we have a question. Do you have to pay back the money, or you don't have to pay back the money? There's a machloket. So now we're going to explain why. Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda amre chayav, bari v'shema bari adif. This is a major concept. Okay, what does it mean? If one person comes with a ta'ana, a claim, that's a clear-cut claim, I know that this is the case, and the other person says, maybe it's not the case, right? I don't know, okay, which is similar to our case, right? The man says, maybe it was before, right? And she says, I know for sure I was raped after the engagement. He says, well, maybe it was before, right? So that's a bari and a shema. So when there's bari and shema, we always accept the bari. That's what they say, okay? Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan, Amrei Patur, and this is for something we've learned many times. Okay, mamana b'cheskat mare. What do we say it in other words, right? Here it says, lahakim et hamamon b'cheskat ba'aleha. I say you owe me 100 shekel. Who owns that 100 shekel right now? You do. So in order for me to be able to, in halachic terms, we say, hamotzi mechavero alav ha'ra'aya. If we want to take money out of someone's hands, the burden of proof lies on you. You can't come into my house and say, that's mine, unless you prove it. So I can't take money out of you unless I have really good proof. And therefore, it doesn't matter if my claim is a bari and yours is a shema. You have the money in your property. In order for me to take it out, I need a strong proof. And that's what they're saying about this money with the ketubah, right? In other words, he wants to say, I owe you less money in the ketubah. And she says, no. You owe me more money, but who's got the money? He does. In order for her to take money out of his hands and say it's mataim, she has to. The burden of proof lies on her.
So I would have thought the money's already in her hands because there's an assumption. Right.
We have said that on certain occasions. So here, okay. The truth is, I'm jumping the gun because the Gemara hasn't said this yet. So that's. But you're right. There is some issue about the ketubah like that. So Chazaka is going to come into play here. So now, first we just have this manali biyadcha. Okay, I was trying to compare it, but maybe I jumped too early. So anyway, we have a monetary case where it's very clear cut. Bari b'shema, you say bari adif, where the other guy says, no, the money's in his hands, so what if he has a perfect claim? The money's in the other guy's hands, and in order to take it out, you have to prove it. Amar le'abai l'Rav Yosef. Okay, by the way, I charted all this out, so you can see it on the second chart on the page. Amar le'abai l'Rav Yosef. Hadi Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda. Okay, now he's just talking about Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda Shita, who said Chayav because Bari B'Shem Bari Adiv. This is Shmuel. This is Shmuel's opinion. Okay, they held like Shmuel. They were a generation after Rav and Shmuel. So he's saying they must side with Shmuel. How do we know? Ditnan, because it says in a mission. Now we're quoting the next mission that we're going to see. Haitam Uberet. If the woman is pregnant. Vamula, actually, I think it's not the next, it's a few, it's, we'll see it later today. Haitam uber, vamula, mativo shalu barze. She's pregnant, she's not married. they say, okay, well, how do we know who the father is? Is he a kosher father? Is he not a kosher father? Meaning, there's two ramifications for this. One is for the woman herself. If she sleeps around with someone who's like a mamzer, a netin, all these people that are psulei chitun, she's not allowed to marry. She can no longer marry a kohen. Okay? She's psula to marry a kohen. Additionally, if she's pregnant, she's going to have a child. Well, if the child's a child potentially of a mamzer, or someone who's psulei chitun, then the child's going to be pasul. Okay? So now, she's pregnant, and they say, well, who was the man? What was his nature, right? Mativo. What kind of a guy was he? She says, Me'ish ploni v'kohen hu. It was so-and-so, and he's a kohen. Meaning, okay, it doesn't necessarily have to be a kohen, but he came from good lineage. Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar, Amrim Ne'emenet. Again, they're going to side, right? They say she's believed, and the other opinion is, right, it doesn't say it here, but she's not believed, right? Rabbi Yoshua. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha k'Rabban Gamliel. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda passes in the name of Shmuel that we hold like Rabban Gamliel, that we believe her. So now what are they saying? Okay, v'amar le Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda le Rav Yehuda. Okay, so now Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda says to Rav Yehuda, Shinina, wow, you're brilliant. Amar la mishmei de Shmuel, halacha k'Rabban Gamliel af birishona. Okay, so now he's saying, you also told me that the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel even in the Rishona. Now what's the Rishona? Okay, the Rishona, my af birishona, the Gemara asks. Okay, birishona is the case of our Mishnah. Okay, in other words, because that's the later Mishnah, and this is the earlier Mishnah in terms of the order in the parak. So now they're saying, even in the first Mishnah, meaning our case, we hold like Rabban Gamliel. And af agav di'i kalameimar okay mamana b'chez katmare. Now what do you see here? If we're going to hold like Rabban Gamliel, who's the muhzak in our case? Who has the ketubah money? The man does. Okay, even though what Sharon's pointing out is we pointed out that it's almost like the money's in a special account for her, but still he's the holder of the money. When she comes to demand her ketubah, the burden of proof still lies on her. And therefore we say, even though we generally say we hold it in the hands of the man, in this case we're going to believe her because Shbari b'shema bari adif. So now what do we see? That go back to the beginning, what Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, what they said is Shmuel's opinion. Because Shmuel holds, Bari, right, in our case, he holds Bari B'Shema Bari Adif, even when it goes against Hamotzi Mechavero Lav Haraya. Even when we're going to take money out of someone, we still believe the Bari. If that's the case, then if Shmuel holds it there, then Shmuel must hold it here also. And that's why he said that what they hold, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, is going in the direction of, it's where, what Shmuel passed it. Okay. Now they're going to say, Lema, so why don't we say then, according to this, right, we're basically setting this up as if it's the exact same machloket. So Lema, Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna, to Amrei ki Rabban Gamliel, Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, to Amrei ki Rabbi Yeshua. So let's set it up and say, this machloket, manali biyadcha, is the exact same machloket, right? Do we keep it in the property of the whole, of the guy who has the money? Or do we say, bari b'shem, bari adif, same exact case, right? Yes, maybe, maybe not. Now the Gemara is going to say there's a difference, and that's where what Shoshana was saying before comes up. Amar lecha Rav Nachman, now this is, Amar lecha always means, remember? He's not saying it, but he could say. We're putting words in his mouth. Rav Nachman could say that even though I said what I said in my case, I wouldn't say it here, okay? We're going to distinguish. Ana de amre afilu k'Rabban Gamliel. Now, that's even though, look at your chart, right? Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan said patur, because we hold, okay, mamonochaz katmare. Okay? Hamotzi mechaber ala paraya. But in the case of the woman, I would believe with Rabban, I would believe Rabban Gamliel and say, bari b'shem bari adif, why? Ad kan lo kam Rabban Gamliel hatam ela de'ika migo. What's a migo? We learned this the other day. A migo is, you could say, since she could have had a better claim, and yet she said this, we must believe her. What could she have said that would have been much better for her? She could have said, mukaetz. He couldn't find betulim. She says, oh, my hymen tore from an accident. Right? Because she brings up the fact that there was a rape involved, we believe her that she's giving an honest claim. Because she could have, if she was going to lie, she'd be much better off just lying and saying. Exactly, and forget about that. It's embarrassing for the woman to say I was raped. So if she's going to lie already, we're assuming, right, there's no concept here that, like of a white lie, right? We'd rather just lie a little bit, right? In other words, you say, oh, well, I was raped, but it was after instead of before, right? The assumption is if you're already lying, lie all the way. So therefore, we believe her since she could have had a better plan.
The logic of this Gemara.
You're right. There's always a problem. What if she knows the logic of the Gemara? Maybe that's why they don't want women learning Gemara. This comes up in all sorts of monetary claims with men too. So. Okay. Now, in the case of when the guy says, "You owe me 100 shekel," and he says, "I don't know what you're talking about," there's no migo he could say, right? It's not like he could lie. He's, the assumption is the best lie he could say is, "I don't know." So, yeah, it's not like he's lying. Inami, or else you could say, Ad kan lo ka'amar rabangam li'al hatam, ela damrinan okma achazaka. Okay, this is what Shoshana brought up. You could say, what's the chazaka of the woman? The chazaka of the woman is that she's a betula. Until we know that she's a be'ula, she's bechezkat, a virgin. So therefore, we're just keeping her within what we assumed she was. Okay? Aval hacha mai chazaka ilay lahai. Right? There is no chazaka when it comes to the money. In other words, like that someone is bechezkat, that he did have a loan, didn't have a loan, there's no such thing. But a woman, when she's born, she's bechezkat betula until proven otherwise. So therefore, we're keeping her in her chazaka, and therefore, again, you can't necessarily compare the cases. So therefore, they say, hachinami mistabra. Now, it also makes sense to say, kidikamashinan, mashninan, derabnach. Okay, now we're going to say not only that, but what did we say before? We wanted to say that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Huna sided with Rabban Gamliel, and Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan sided with Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi Nachman didn't side with Rabban Gamliel, right? Then the Gemara says, no, we can prove that Rabbi Nachman could side with Rabban Gamliel because he could say there's a difference in the woman's case. So now they're going to say we have even further proof that Rabbi Nachman sided with Rabban Gamliel like we just suggested. Why? In other words, it also makes sense to say that Rav Nachman held like Rabban Gamliel. Because otherwise we'd have a problem when it comes to the psak halacha. Okay, here finally, right, we always complain that we don't get enough psak halacha. Here we have it. We have a concept, right, we have it, it's known to us, that hilchata ke Rav Nachman bedine. We hold like Rav Nachman when it comes to dinin, dine mamonot. Which means that we pass him like Rav Nachman in this case of, right? We'd say, okay, mamona b'chezkat ma'arei, and he's patur, he doesn't have to give back the money. Amar Rav Yehuda, u'baha, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha ke Rabban Gamliel. And in our case, what do we see? That Shmuel paskins the halacha like Rabban Gamliel, right? So if we have a psak like Rabban Gamliel, and we have a psak like Rav Nachman, and we say that they all line up and they're different, they're opposite, well, then that wouldn't work. So therefore, it makes the most sense to say that if we paskin like Rav Nachman in the money case, and we paskin like Rabban Gamliel in the woman case, that they must be agreeing with each other. And therefore, the fact that we said that Rav Nachman would agree in the woman case, he'd make an exception. He'd say, oh, well, Mamonot is different from the woman case because of the issue of Chazaka or because of the issue of the Migo. Therefore, what are we going to say? Therefore, it must be, right? Elalav Shmamina, Kedim Shanina, and Shmamina. So therefore, we can assume that Rav Nachman and Rabban Gamliel would agree, okay? And that the two cases are not comparable. So we started saying they're comparable. In the end, we say they're not comparable. They're two different things. Even though they're both based on the same principles of Bari Vishama Bari Adip and Okay Mamona Chazkat Mare, the woman case has two different aspects. One is that she's got a chazaka, that she's a betula. That weighs more to that end of believing her. And the other issue is that she also could have had a better claim, and therefore we're going to believe the claim that she does make. Okay, new Mishnah. He omer mukat etzani, v'hu omer lo ki ela drusat ishat. By the way, we brought up this the other day, and I said drusat ish was a bit of a negative connotation, right? You've been trampled by a man.
Yeah.
So I was reading in Safra's book over Shabbat, and he points out that that lashon is more of like a euphemistic way of saying she slept with a man. In other words, they don't like to say they had sex, right? They don't like to be open about it, so they kind of couch it in other terminology, and this is just another type of terminology, even though he agrees it's a negative one. But anyway, so now again, he doesn't find her betulim. So she says, I got injured from a piece of wood. He says, no, it could be, again, it's a Shema claim, right? It could be a man slept with you. Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Omrim, Ne'emenet, Rabbi Yoshua, Omer, Lo Mipia, Anu Chayim, El HaRezo, B'chazkat, Drusat Ish, Adja Tavi Raya, L'Dvaraha. Again, the exact same, right? They fall on the same sides. Rabbi Yoshua says she's got to bring proof. Okay. So now they say, Ta'anatayu B'mai. Now we're going to get into what I brought up the other day, that we don't know what's the claim exactly. What's each one claiming?
I have a question. Yeah. How is she B'chazkat, Drusat Ish?
How could she be that if we're saying she's bechazkat betula?
Yeah.
Again, what's he saying? If she wants to claim more money in her ketubah, in order to do that, she has to have full proof that there was an accident somewhere down the road and that that's where she lost her betula. And if she can't provide proof, well, then she can't take money out of his hands. Because again, this concept of hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, the burden of proof lies on her. So until she can bring good proof, there's nothing to talk about. Okay? So now, that's his general approach to the whole thing. So now we want to know, and this goes back to the sugya we learned on Friday, so it'll be good chazara. Ta'anatayu b'mai, what's their claim? Rabbi Yochanan amar b'matayim umana, Rabbi Lezer amar b'mana v'lo klum. Okay, we talked about this the other day. When he claims you had sex with someone before, is he claiming the marriage is off and you don't have any ketubah because you fooled me, right? You tricked me. Or is he saying, instead of getting the ketubah of a betula, you're deserving the ketubah of an almana, or all women who are be'ulot, okay? So is it a claim of 200? She claims, I want my full ketubah, and he says, you only get 100. Or is it that she's claiming 100, because we learned that there was a machloka Rabbi Meir v'chachamim, does a mukhat eitz, right, we had a whole thing. Since she's injured and she doesn't have betulim anymore, she doesn't have signs of virginity, again, she might be a virgin technically because she never had sex, but she doesn't have signs of it, her hymen's torn, that already lowers her down. She already only gets 100 for being a mukhat eitz. And he's claiming, no, you're not even a mukhat eitz, you know, in other words, I think you slept with someone, in which case you've broken the contract, in which case I want out of the marriage and you get nothing. So, there's a machloka between two Amoraim, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. What's the machloket? Is it matayim and mana, or is it mana v'lo klum? Rabbi Yochanan amar. Okay, now we have to go back 1 minute, and I brought this nice chart here that's highlighted there. Okay, the sugya on Daf Yud Aleph that we learned on Friday. First, we started out. We saw Rami Bar Chama. Okay, what's clear, and this I put on the chart here. Everyone agrees that if he knew going into the marriage that this was the situation, that she was a mukat eitz, okay. Everyone agrees, all the Amoraim, when they disagree about this, that Rabbi Meir says she gets 200 and Chachamim say she gets only 100. Because Chachamim say a mukat eitz is worth less money. That's what we just said, okay? Rabbi Meir thinks a mukat eitz has nothing wrong with her. She gets a full ketubah, okay? A botula means someone who didn't have sex before. So she's fine. Now, Rami Bar Chama came and said that if he didn't know, lohi kirba, he had no idea before the wedding that this was the case, she gets nothing. And everyone agrees that she gets nothing. Even Rabbi Meir, who said a mukhat eitz gets full, if she lied about it, right, or if she didn't have full disclosure, she gets nothing. So Rava came and said, the first explanation of Rava was that, no, that's not the case. Rabbi Meir thinks she gets 200. Chachamim are the ones who say she gets nothing. In other words, a mukhat eitz, because he doesn't look at it in any sort of gam, he thinks that she didn't need to tell him before the marriage. It's not anything. She didn't need to have full disclosure. So what? She didn't tell him. She still gets her full ketubah. But Chachamim, according to the first explanation, would say, since she lied to him about it, okay, since it's already worth less, now that she lied, she gets nothing even, okay? If she were honest about it, she would get 100. But then Rava changes his opinion. That was where we ended on Friday. And Rava says, no, in the end, it's not the case. Rabbi Meir holds, if he didn't know before, Rabbi Meir still holds 200. But Chachamim say, no, she gets 100, okay? So that's the maskana that's important, okay? To know that, according to Rava's maskana, it doesn't matter if he knew or didn't know. It's all the same. Rabbi Meir thinks always she gets 200, and Chachamim say she's always valued at less, she's valued at 100. But nobody thinks that she doesn't get anything. Okay? So now, the Gemara is going to be based on that. So now let's see. So the Gemara is going to say now, Rabbi Yochanan amar b'matayim v'mana. So now we have to match that up with what we're hearing here. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, the machloket is, she claims 200, he claims 100, which makes perfect sense. Savar laki Rabbi Meir, right? Why did he hold that? He holds like Rabbi Meir, and that's why is her claim 200? Because he holds like Rabbi Meir. She claims 200 because Rabbi Meir holds that she gets 200 if she's a mukat eitz. Damar bein hikirba, bein lo hikirba, but whether he knew or not, she gets matayim. Rabbi Elazar amar omer b'mana v'lo klum. Now, why would Rabbi Elazar say Rabbi Elazar said her claim is 100 and his is 0? Because Savar laki Rabbanan, he holds like Chachamim. Chachamim said she gets 100 if she's a mukat eitz. So she's claiming I'm a mukat eitz, and he's claiming no, you're not a mukat eitz, and therefore you should get nothing. De'amrei ben ikirba ben lo ikirba mana. So now they're going to say, why didn't each one hold like the other? Okay. So bishlama Rabbi Elazar lo ka'amar ka Rabbi Yochanan de'hamokei la ka Rabbanan. We understand Rabbi Elazar Shita very well. Why? Because he's holding like Chachamim. Now, whenever there's a machloke Chachamim and a single person, a Da'at Yachid, we hold like Chachamim. So it makes more sense, his Shita. He claims we hold like Chachamim, that a Mukha'et only gets 100. And therefore, her claim when she said, I'm a Mukha'et, was that I want to get 100. And he says, no, you must have had sex with someone, in which case you get nothing. Ela le Rabbi Yochanan, my time alo amar ka Rabbi Elazar. In other words, why did he hold... Why doesn't he hold like Rabbi Elazar? Why does he think it's, she claims I want my full ketubah, and he claims 100, and therefore he's holding like Rabbi Meir, basically. So why is it? Now he says something interesting. He says, why? Kasavar, what, she's claiming I'm a mukha'etz. He's claiming, you didn't tell me you had sex with someone before we got married, right? And I think, right, I'm assuming you must have had sex with someone. So now, what is he giving her here? 100. If we held like Rabbi Yochanan, what would he be saying? We'd be saying that, right? I'm saying the right... No, if we have like Rabbi Elazar, what would we be saying? One second. We'd be saying that she gets nothing, right? Okay, so now the question is, why does Rabbi Yochanan not hold that this is the case? And this is going to be our key. He's claiming you had sex with someone else, and therefore you get nothing. That's his claim right now, according to this reasoning. And we're going to say this is why he doesn't like this reasoning, because, right, that's Rabbi Yochanan... That's Rabbi Elazar's shita, that she gets nothing, and we're going to explain why Rabbi Yochanan didn't want to hold like that. Rabbi Yochanan, my time alone, Amarka Rabbi Elazar, kasavar, knasabaches kapetula v'nimtse petula, yesh laktuba mana. He held that in a case where, in other words, there's a whole machloket, and that's why I said we were reading it, there's a whole machloket about, in a case where she lied and didn't say she had sex before marriage, does she get 0 or does she get 100? So if you say she gets 100, which is what Rabbi Yochanan thought, then you can't say what Rabbi Elazar said. That he's claiming she gets nothing. And okay? So therefore, hacha hu ka'amr mana v'hi ka'amr mana. In other words, what would happen? She'd be saying, I get 100 because I'm a mukha'et, because he holds like chachamim. And he'd be saying, you get 100 because you had sex with someone. Then they'd have equal claims. There'd be nothing to discuss. Mm-hmm. So ma'ika bin ta'anadide le ta'anadida. There's no difference between their ta'inot. Okay. Now we're going to have another issue about the two of them. Bishlama le Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar makes sense. Why? Hainu dekatane tarte. Makes sense that they brought two different cases, according to him. What were the two cases? Our first Mishnah, Misha Erastani Ne'enasti, right? I was raped after we already were engaged. And the Mukha'etz. Why? Chadala Fuke Midurami Barchama, Bechadala Fuke Midurabchia Baravi. Okay, now you have to, I wrote this down on the page, to, you can follow there, okay? At the very bottom of the first sheet. Okay, what's the reason? One is to show you, okay, we're going to read it inside now for a minute. Kamaita, the first case, Misha Erastani Ne'enasti, was Lehodiacha Kochod Rabbi Yoshua. To show you how strong Rabbi Yoshua is. Da'af Agav De'ika Lamemra Migo. Even though she has a Migo in that case, right? She could claim, I was a Mukat Eitz and have a better claim. Lo Mehemna. Rabbi Yoshua still doesn't believe her. And that's why you had to bring two cases. Because our case is the basic case, Mukat Eitz. That's the easiest lie, right? But the chiddush is that even Rabbi Yeshua would say in that case. But Shraita Lehodiacha Kochod Rabban Gamliel. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry, I skipped. Sorry. Okay, let's go back. I was looking at my chart and I looked at the wrong side and then I got thrown off. Okay, so let's go back. Sorry. Bishlama le Rabbi Elazar. Hainu dekatanik tarta. Chadala fuke midurami barchama. Okay, what's that? The Mukat Eitz case. What do we say? Rami Barchama said, if you remember, look at the chart, she doesn't get anything. She gets 0, right? So now, according to Rabbi Elazar, we had to bring that case to show that we don't hold like Rabbi Elazar. Because here, in the end, what is she claiming? I'm a Mukat Eitz, and she wants to get 100, right? And according to Rami Barchama, if she's a Mukat Eitz, she should get nothing, okay? If she didn't tell him before, remember? So he's trying to say we don't hold that way. And Chadala, who came into Rabchia Barav and Amar of Shesha, that was another case we saw the other day, which is Hakones Isha Bechazka Petula Benimtse Peula. If you marry someone, right, thinking she's a virgin, and it turns out she wasn't, Yesh Lak Tuba Mana. Okay? And here, Rabbi Elazar claims she gets 0. Remember? Right? In other words, he makes a distinction between the Mukat Eitz case and that case. In both those cases, right, in the case of the Mukat Eitz, So Rami Brachava thought she gets zero, and comes Rav Elazar to say, no, she gets 100 if she's a Mukat Eitz. In the other case, Rav Sheshet said she gets 100 if she lied about being a virgin. And here, Rav Elazar says, no, she gets zero. So each case comes to prove against a different position. Okay, that's why both cases are there. But now, Elele Rabbi Yochanan Tarte Lamali. Now, why do we need both cases according to Rabbi Yochanan Shita when it's Matayim and Mana? So now the Gemara is going to say, Chada lehodiyacha kochod de Rabban Gamliel, v'chada lehodiyok kochod de Rabbi Yoshua. Why? Kamaita, the first case is lehodiyacha kochod de Rabbi Yoshua. Misha nerasti ne'enasti. Right? Once I got engaged, I was raped. Because again, right, what do we say? De'af agav de'ika lemeim amigo lo mehem. Now, even though she has a better claim to make, she's not believed. But Trita, the second one, is Lahodiyacha Kochod de Rabban Gamliel. Afagav de Leika Lamem Ramigo Mehemna. Now we're going to flip it. The second case is to show that even when she doesn't have any better claim to make, Mukat Eitz is her best possible lie. And even though she's going to lie like that, right, what do we say in the end? Rabban Gamliel believes her. Okay, so each one is to show the extreme opinions, right? In one case, it's more likely we're going to believe her, and yet Rabbi Yeshua still doesn't believe her. In the other case, it's less likely we're going to believe her, and Rabban Gamliel still believes her. So basically, we brought it to show both extremes. Okay, so that's a whole diyun. And again, there was a whole machloket about what's each one claiming, what's the monetary claim? Is it 200, 100, or is it 100 and 0? And this was just ways of showing each gisha, which one is more obvious, which one less.
What's amigo again?
Amigo is that she is believed because if she was lying, she would lie better. She would make a better lie, okay. Right? To just avoid any sort of issues coming up. Because okay. Once she opens the door to say, I was raped, well, then it's not clear, were you raped before, were you raped after? So if she just says, Mukare, it's very simple. Oh, I had an accident,
and maybe it wasn't
done.
Rape.
And maybe it wasn't rape, what?
It might have been detention.
Maybe it wasn't a rape.
Yeah.
So that's also why it's... You're saying there's an issue of when the rape happened. There's also an issue of whether it was a rape.
Whether
or
there
not.
Was even a rape or not, right.
Maybe it was consensual. And then
right, you could claim, right, maybe you right. Maybe it was consensual. That right, and that would be a huge problem. So, right, why would she even raise that if she was going to lie? Like, just say a better claim.
Yeah.
And this comes up in monetary issues in many cases. Like, if you're already providing information, right, then we're assuming, right, if you could have said less or you could have said a better lie, you're believed. It's questionable whether that's really accurate or not.
Well, it's a question of human nature.
Right. So much of halacha,
right.
Certainly in Dinei Mamonot, is all about human nature and what do we assume is going on in your head? And,
well,
and
we
there we have to make lots of assumptions. Yeah.
In the case of the 201, I don't want to zero, was there ever a case of a rape? It seems like there was only the case of whether she's...
But they were talking about the Mukat Eitz case.
Right.
Yeah. They weren't relating to the other Mishnah. What do you mean?
How do they even use that case then for the rape case if there's not even a case of that within that argument?
No, because they're saying, what's the point of having another Mishnah? Because you're saying, right, I guess, according to that, then you could say that that's also their claim in the previous Mishnah. Mishnah Arastani Ne'enasti, right? I guess you could claim that it was also the same thing for there. I guess. I have to think about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry I have to leave room.
Okay. Okay, Ra'u ha-medaberet im-echad. Okay, now, this is going to be an interesting one. They see her talking to some strange man, okay? Talking to some man. They don't know who the man is. Va'amru la, and they say to her, Mativo shel ishzeh, who is this man you were talking to? Ish ploni v'koin hu, she claims he was of good lineage. Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar omrim ne'emenet, she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua omer, lo mipi anu chayim, ela harei zo b'chezkak be'ula l'natinu l'mamzer, ad sh'tavi ra'ya l'dvara. Whoa, she was talking to some man, now we're assuming, until she can bring a proof that she had sex with this man, and that this man was, well, she's not pregnant yet, and that this man was possibly a mamzer, a natin, and all that, which means, again, she can't marry a kohen. Okay, we're going to talk about what is midaberet. Okay, we don't know right now. It obviously doesn't mean she was talking to some guy. Okay, so we're going to see in the Gemara there's going to be a bit machloket about it. Okay, haitam uberet, case number two. She was pregnant. Okay, vamrula. This we saw just before. It was quoted. Vamrula mativo shel ubarza. Okay, what's the story with this ubar? Meish ploni v'koin hu. She says he was from a good husband, right? He was a good man. He had good yichus. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, Amrim, Nen, Manich, his belief, Rabbi Yeshua, Amir, Lomi, Pia, Anu, Chaim, Ela, Hareza, Vachaz, Kambu, Uber, the Natinu, Le, Mamzer, we're assuming she was pregnant from a Natinu or Mamzer, Adja, Tavi, Raya, Le, Dvera. Okay. Now, my Medaberet, okay, here's a big machloket, you can see it on the second side of the sheet, okay, we're going to line it up, they're going to have all sorts of questions, this doesn't work, this one's question, you're going to see, there's questions, first two questions on Rav Asi, then one question on Ze'eri, and then a question on Rav Asi again. Yehuda and Tamar story.
And
why?
She was also accused. She was pregnant. She was accused, and until she brought proof,
they didn't believe her. Interesting. I don't think so.
I haven't read anything.
Right. So what we talked about in the beginning, I'm not sure if you came for it at all, was that they line up with Shitot Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, and Beit Shammai is much more siding with the women on all sorts of issues. We saw some Mishnayot. I'm happy to go over it after class with you. The Mishnayot that sided on the Beit Shammai approach, that he was more protective of the woman. And Rabbi Yoshua, who follows Beit Hillel, sides on the approach of being less protective of the woman, more on the man's side. Okay? So I think that's more likely where it comes from rather than particularly Yehuda and Tamar's story, although, I don't know. It's a good question. My medaberet. What is this medaberet? Ze'eri Amar Nistira. She had yichud with this guy. They were in a room alone. Okay? And then the question is, do we assume if someone's in a room alone with a man, that they had sex? Okay? So there's two assumptions they're really making here. One is that they had sex, and one is that he was of questionable lineage. Rav Asi Amar Nivala. No, it means, midaberet means she actually had sex. So Bishlamal is Ze'ere, Hanu Dekatani Midaberet. It makes sense for Ze'ere, that's why it said Midaberet, right? And not Be'ula, right? Nivala. But Elal Rav Asi, my Midaberet, why does it say Midaberet? It doesn't seem to match the Lashon. Now, it's true that Midaberet doesn't really match the Lashon of Yichud either. But I guess Midaberet seems much less than sleeping with someone, right? So it's at least closer to having Yichud, like hanging out, let's say, right? Sounds more like hanging out. She was schmoozing with a guy. Schmoozing with a guy in a room with the door closed, no one around, okay? Rav Asi, where did he get it from? So they say, lishna ma'aliyah. It's a euphemism, just like we talked about before. Ki dichtiv, here's a pasuk from Mishlei, achla u'machata piya. We've seen this pasuk. She eats and she wipes her mouth clean, v'amra lo pa'alti aven. And she says, I didn't do anything. Okay, so eating, they use the euphemism for having sex. Okay. Bishlama, another way we see Ze'eri makes more sense. Bishlama le Ze'eri haynu zekatani tarte. Midaberet u'meuberet, right? Meuberet means she had sex with the guy because here you have a baby to prove, right? But the first case obviously must be something different. So it must be, she only had yichud. But, right, le Rav Asi tarte lamali, what do you mean, what do you need both for? They have an answer. Chada lachshir ba, v'chada lachshir bibita. Here we started. What did I tell you? There's two issues. One is she kshera to marry a kohen because she slept with some psul? Or is her daughter mutar to marry a kohen because she's the daughter of a mamzer or someone, right? Questionably. So they need two cases to show that both, right, the people who believe her and believe her as it relates to her daughter. Not just her, also her daughter. So now they say, wait. Hani chalamanda amar ledivrei hamachshir ba machshir bibita. That makes sense if you're going to hold that there's apparently machloket about, which we're going to see at the end of the daf. The person who says she's okay also says the daughter's okay. Elalamanda amar ledivrei hamachshir ba posel bibita ma'ika lemeimar. But there's another approach that says she might be believed, but the child is not. In other words, in the end, if you have this situation where the woman gets pregnant and we don't know what the status of the guy is, we'll let her marry a kohen, but her daughter is bechezkat, psula. That's her daughter can't marry a kohen, or her daughter, for all intents and purposes, can't even marry Yisrael because she could be a mamzeret. Okay? So when it comes to the kohen, the woman marrying a kohen will allow it. But her daughter, we're already going to put a safek on her. Because she's much more questionable, who is your father? Okay, so if you're going to hold that, then it makes no sense. You can't answer up Rav Asi and say, the first case is her, and the second case is her daughter, because her and her daughter have different halachot. So what do you have to answer? Very obviously, Rav Asi sabar kamanda amar lidvrei machshir ba machshir bebita. He holds like that approach, and then he's okay. He says, these two come to teach each a different situation, and he's basically trying to tell us, I hold that it's the same halacha for her and the daughter. Another question. Now it's going to be a question on Ze'eri. Amar papa labai. L'ze'eri de'amar ma'im de'beret nistira, that it means having yichud. V'amar Rabbi Yeshua lo mehem. Now, Rabbi Yeshua says, right, she's not believed. Now we're going to have a question on this. Why? Ha'amar Rav, didn't Rav say, malkin al ha'yichud ve'ein osrin al ha'yichud? Okay, now this is a bit of a different situation. A woman who's married, okay, here we were talking about an unmarried woman. Let's say a woman's married. What do we learn about a woman who's married? If she sleeps with someone else, she's forbidden to go back to her husband, and she's forbidden to be with the guy who she had sex with, right, who she cheated with. So now, what does Rav say? If we see a woman, we don't know she had sex with the guy, but she went to a room alone with some other guy while she was married, what do we say? She gets malkot, malkin al ha'yichud, ve'ein osrin al ha'yichud, but she's not forbidden to go back to her husband, because we don't know. We don't know what she did in that room. It's enough to say we give her lashes, but we don't forbid her. So now, are we going to say the lema deloka Rabbi Yeshua? Do we have to say that according to Ze'eri, who says that this case is a yichud case, and what do we say in a yichud case? Rabbi Yeshua says she's forbidden, now not to her husband, she doesn't have a husband, but what's she forbidden to? She's forbidden to marry a kohen, because we assume they had sex. So are we going to say it's not like Rabbi Yeshua? Rav doesn't hold like Rabbi Yeshua? So they say, no, you don't have to say that, because afilu tema Rabbi Yeshua, ma'ala subi yochsin. When it comes to marrying a kohen, we're going to be more machmir. We don't forbid her to her husband, but if a woman was not married and she went and was suspect of being with someone, we're going to make a higher criteria. Rabbi Yeshua is going to say we can't allow her to just for having yichud, we're going to say, let's stay away from here, let's not have her marry a kohen, because yuchsin is very important. Okay, another question now. Now we're going to have a question from a braita on Rav Asi's. Okay, so Rav Asi said again, it means she had sex. So now what's the issue here? Here's a braita. Ra'ua shenichnisa im echad l'seter or l'churva. She went with someone into a secret place or into a churva, right, which is like a destroyed, like a building that's fallen apart. Va'amrula mativo shel ish zeh. And they said to her, what kind of guy was this? Kohen hu uben achi aviat hu. Okay, he was a Kohen and he was the son of my father's brother. That's, yeah, good yichus. Rabban Gamli of Rabbi Lezer omer ne'emenet. Rabbi Yeshua omer lo mipi anu chayim ela hareza b'chazkap be'ula l'netinu l'mamzer ad shtibi raya l'dvarha. Okay, again, the machlok. Bishlama l'ze'ere hanu dekatani tarte l'seter o l'churva. We understand l'seter means yichud, l'churva means he had sex with her. In other words, again, Ze'eri makes this distinction. Seter means, right, he had yichud. Because he says yichud is already a problem. The machloket's about yichud. But the Rav Asi, and so Rav Asi says it's nivala, thinks the yichud, there's no question even. Right? We don't have an issue when she just says yichud. So the Rav Asi, damar nivala, tarte lamali. Why do you need o l'chorva, o l'seter? It's all the same thing. So what do they say? Chada katane, it doesn't mean this or this. It means she went l'seter into a chorva. Okay? V'ha, but wait a minute. It says l'seto o l'chorva, right? It says that or that. So you can't say it means one thing. So the answer, chad l'chorva d'mata v'chad l'chorva d'dabra. One's talking about a chorva in a city, and one's talking about a chorva in a midbar. Utzricha, and why do you need both of them? D'iash me'inan chorva d'mata. If it was just the chorva in a city, you would think that b'ha kamach sh'rabban Gamliel, what's the difference between a chorva in a city? Mishum derov ksherim etzla. Most people in the city are people with good yichus. The assumption was they were living in Jewish communities, right? So the chances of it being with someone who was Jewish, with good lineage, was okay. Aval l'chorva d'dabra, but out in the wilderness, right? Derov psulin etzla, ema modile the Rabbi Yeshua. You might have thought the Rabban Gamliel would agree in a case with his rov psulim that we're going to assume that it was a pasul, okay? It was a mamzer or something. And what if they just told us the case of the chorva of the dabra? What would you say? The flip. The bahi ka'amar Rabbi Yeshua. That's Rabbi Yeshua b'machmir. Aval b'ha, but if we were in the city, ema modile the Rabban Gamliel, right? He might agree with Rabban Gamliel that we're not going to apostle her. Because if it was in the city, right? Again, this is all an issue of, you have all different things. You have, you know, okay, b'chez kamari, right? And then you have the issue of, but wait, there's rove, and there we have all different halachic issues going on here. Do you go by the rove? Normally we follow the rove. So now they're saying, no, it really has nothing to do with rove, okay? And the whole thing is, even if rove psulim or rove sherim, each one holds to their gisha in both places, okay? Sricha, and therefore you need both cases. So now we've explained Rav Asi, according to both, that it basically means he had yichud in the city or he had yichud in the wilderness, you know, in the desert. No matter what, whether there's rove sherim, rove psulim, everyone's going to hold by their shita. Rabbi Yeshua is going to say, no way, And Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer are going to say she's believed. Okay, last question, Rav Asi. Here we're quoting the Tosefta. Right? The Tosefta was a book collected just like the Mishnayot were, right, from the time of the Mishnah. Zo edut shayishak sherala. Okay, we're missing the beginning, which is she was pregnant. Okay, it was a case again where she was pregnant. And Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Elezer say she's believed. And then they say, zo edut shayishak sherala. This is edut that the woman's believed by. Rabbi Yeshua Omer ena ne'emenet. Now we're going to have a dusiach, a conversation between them. This conversation is not going to be so clear. The Gemara is going to explain it. I'm going to tell you right now that even according to the Gemara's explanation, there's a lot of problems with it. It's not so clear cut. But for matters of time and other things, we're not going to be able to get into too much. We'll have to, you know, just know that there's a little bit of problems here. But anyway, this is the dusiach. What I did here was, okay, I always play with fonts here. So the font that's in this, the strange font, is the Tanaitic source. And by each line, when the Gemara starts to explain what it means, I added, like I basically went out of order in the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to bring the whole Tosefta. Then it's going to say, this line means that, that line means that, that line. So I lined it up with the lines. So you can sort of follow there. Okay. Rabbi Yeshua says, in a minute. So Amar lahem Rabbi Yeshua, Iyatem modim b'shvuya shenishbet, v'yesh la'idim shenishbet, v'hi omer torani she'ina ne'emenet. Wouldn't you agree with me that if a woman gets taken captive by non-Jews and she gets freed, she comes back and she says, oh, nobody slept with me, right? That we're not going to believe her, because obviously the non-Jews slept with her. That's what they do when they capture these women. So Amru lo, aval. Okay? So the assumption is he agrees when he says aval. Okay? I do agree with you. Okay? Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua agree in the case of a shvuya. Uma hefresh yesh ben zo lezo. Lezo yesh edim u lezo ein edim. Okay, now they're saying, so what's the difference between this and this? In a minute, we're going to see what this is. That this case has witnesses, and this case doesn't have witnesses. Just leave it for right now, because we don't yet know what they're saying. Amar lahem, af lizo yesh edim, sharei kresa ben shineha. Also in the case of the Mu'uberet, there's edim, because she's pregnant. Okay, but we're going to see that they're not really talking about the pregnant one. We'll see in a minute. Amru lo, they say back to him, rov ovdei kohabim putzim barayotem. There's a difference between the non-Jews are mostly doing arayot. Amar lahen ain't apitropos la'arayot. So now Rabbi Yeshua answers back, nobody is trusted when it comes to arayot. You go into a room alone with a woman, we're assuming something happened there. Bamed varim amurim, now in what case, this is the brightest still, in what case are we talking about? Be'ishag bigufa. Aval edut isha bibita, divrei hakol avlad shtuki. This is all, remember we made a distinction between the woman herself, how it relates to her, and the woman as it relates to the baby. Right? So everyone agrees, there's a machloket about the woman herself, but everyone agrees that the kid's going to be a shtuki. A shtuki, remember we said, why is it a shtuki? A shtuki is a kid, we don't know the father. It's because every time the kid says, Abba, Abba, the mother's mishatkin oto. She says, no, that's not your father, that's not your father. And then the shtuki can't marry. So now they're saying, Maika amralehu, Maika mahadale. What did he say to them, and what did they answer back? Hachika amrale. He shavtani al ha-me'uberet. This is what they were talking about. Okay, and this is what's going to create the problem for Rav Asi. When they said, okay, now you can follow on the sheet. Aval basically, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer agree about the Me'uberet, not just about the Shvuya case. They also agree that if she's pregnant, you're right. Okay? But Matishiveni ala Midaberet, but what are you going to say about the Midaberet? Okay, what if she was just had Yichud? Amar lahem midaberet haynu shvuya. Yichud is like the shvuya case. So amrulo, they said no. Shani shvuya derov of de kochavim putzim barayote. You can't compare the two. Just because she had yichud in a room with a man, that doesn't mean she slept with him. That's only in the shvuya case because it's non-Jews and we don't trust them. Amar lahem hanami. But then Rabbi Yeshua answers back, no. Anyone who's kevan de istater ain't apitropos l'arayot. Okay? Since they were in a room alone, we can't trust them at all. Whether he's Jewish, whether he's not Jewish, we don't trust him. So now, why does this reading of the Tosefta have a problem for Rav Asi? Katani miatarte midaberet ume'uberet. Here you see there's two cases. One is midaberet, where she only had yichud, and they're having a machloket about it. And one is about a me'uberet, where they also have a machloket. So therefore, it proves that a midaberet is not having sex. So what do they say? Tiyuvta de Rav Asi tiyuvta. It's a problem. Okay? So now we're going to just ask a question. We're going to finish up here. We're not going to finish to the end of the daf today, but we'll finish up the section. They now ask a question on this brayta. Betepuklei, why do you say there's a difference between when Rabbi Yeshua and the Tosefta says, I'm assuming the Shvuya is just like a guy who was mityached. Betepuklei, dehatam rov psulim etzla. Again, why don't you say, so what if they had sex? Still, if he's Jewish, the assumption is rov or ksherim, right? And when it comes to the Shvuya, she's with non-Jews, most are psulim. V'hacha rov ksherim etzla, right? But when it comes to the yichud case, most are ksherim. So what do they say? Meseyelel Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, de'am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, l'divrei ha-machshir, machshir afilu b'rov psulim, and l'divrei ha-posel, posel afilu b'rov ksherim. Like we said before, that if you're, we don't care about rov here. Either you trust her or you don't trust her. And if you trust her, right, and as if we assume they had sex, and we're going to assume also that he was not a kasher. We don't care that Rover Ksherim, that the pool was a kasher pool. We're going to say it's pasul. Okay, we'll end here for today. Very complicated.